Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's a happy day. It should be a joyous day, a day to celebrate and give God praise. He deserves all the glory. Amen. We're just so thankful for the Lord. We appreciate the opportunity He gives us to come on this wonderful Sabbath to give Him honor and glory. Turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy. Chapter number 6, verse 4. This is Shema Israel. I mean, you know, we ought to Shema Him. That means to listen. How many want to listen and hear? So that's what we're doing today. We're listening and hearing. So I'm going to give you the scripture. This will be read at all our Shabbat services just to honor the Lord and give Him praise. And verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, Yah, our Elohim, Yah is one." How many?
One.
"And you shall love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart." How much do I need to love Him with?
All
my heart. This is a very important principle to remember. "And with all your being." With all your being. In other words, there's not anything inside of you you're not dedicating to Him today. "All my being, you shall love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your might." Amen. "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart." What do you put these words? In your heart. "They shall be in your heart, and you shall impress them upon your children." We're to do what? Impress them upon our children. You know, if you take wax and you melt the wax on a piece of paper, make a puddle with the wax, then you take the ring and you push it in the wax, it makes what's called a seal. But before you did that, the act of doing that is to impress. You took it and you impressed. That's what we should be doing for our children. Well, let me just tell you, Mom and Dad, if you're not the one doing the impressing, then we're missing it. So we're doing this for who? Who are we doing it for? Our children. We owe it to the generation coming up behind us. "And you shall impress them upon your children." What are we impressing? These words. These words that we spoke, we're impressing them upon our children. "And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house." You speak of this when you sit in your house. In the evening of Friday evening at 6:30, it's the beginning of Shabbat. You're sitting where? In your house. You impress these and you speak of these things. "And you sit in your house when you walk by the way." This is not something, so when you walk by the way, the zitzits is a reminder. These are reminders of this Shema Israel. So you're walking by the way, you're impressing them every time, whether somebody asks a question, it doesn't matter what it is. That's what your desire is to share the good news in the words of God. When you walk by the way, you're impressing these things. And that's a value to us. "And when you lie down and when you rise up." Yah should be on your mind when you lie down. And He should definitely be on your mind when you rise up, because that's another gift. How many of you know every day is a gift from Yah? It's not a gimme, so I'm supposed to live. No, when you rise up, that's a gift. Your day is starting with a gift, the gift of life again. And He does it night after night. Isn't that amazing? So folk going around saying, "You know, I don't know what else to thank God for." We'll work on our list. Our list, when I woke up this morning, you want to give praise to Yah. Amen? This is a value to us. So when you rise up and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. So I wanted to just read that at the beginning here, just to show you how important it is for us to stay true to the things of God and what God has established for us. He's been good to us. So last week we started talking about fear Yah and keep His commandments. What are we to do? Fear Yah and keep His commandments. So we're going to do a quick run through of all these verses without commentary. Because when I stop and I start again, I was trying to find how can I get this thing cranked back up and still be fresh on your mind. So here we go. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, and beside being wise, Kohelet also taught the people knowledge, and he listened and sought out, set in order many proverbs, many, not some, many. And Kohelet sought to find out words of delight and words of truth rightly written. Why would he seek to have them rightly written? Because there was a lot of things being written that weren't being written rightly. We have our job cut out for us. Amen? So these are important principles. The words of the wise are like gore, and as nails driven by the master of collections. They were given by one shepherd. How many? One shepherd. We talked about Yah is one. And beside these, my sons, be warned and make many of the books, and making many books has no end, and much study is a wearying of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. What are we to listen to? The entire matter. Don't judge it till it's finished. Then you decide. Because if your questions come before that, then they're not warranted to God. Why would we put God in question if we never heard Him? Let Him tell the whole story. Fear, and then he goes on after that statement, says, fear Elohim and guard His commands. For this applies to how much of mankind? All mankind. Fear Elohim and guard His command. This applies to all mankind. For Elohim shall bring every work unto right ruling, including all that is hidden, whether good or whether evil. So, how many thank God for His word? Amen. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. He that answers the matter before he hears the entire matter, it's folly to him. A sign and an eternal covenant. Ephesians 2, 1 through 22. We're going to take this on again, go right through it. I talked about this, gave some commentary on this as we went through it, explained it best I could. But I want you to hear it again because this is important to hear for the last part to be talked about. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. What were we? Dead. Let's not forget that. We weren't going to be dead. We were already dead. So we get this kind of mixed up. You say, man, I'm living life, and at the certain point in my life, I really want to make it right with God. You're not living life. You're dead. We already start out with dead. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. In which you, now I like this word, once, walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, also as also the rest. Were we different? No, we weren't different. We weren't different. We were the same way. We were all in the same boat, going to the same place. How many understand that? Valuable to get. Got to see where we were, once were, and now where we are now. Verse 4, but Elohim. When you got a but Elohim, you know the next part is going to be real good. Amen? Who is rich in compassion because of His great love, with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together. He made us what? Alive together. With Messiah, by favor, you have been saved. By favor, by some scripture say grace, by grace. And raised up together and made us sit together. So I want to focus on that. Made us live together, raised us up together, made us sit together. Very important. We're made alive, we're raised up, we're sitting together in heavenly, in the heavenlies in Messiah. Very important, Messiah Yeshua. In order to show in the coming age the exceeding riches of his favor and his kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Elohim. Nothing you can do. You can keep all of the Torah, all of it, and that's not enough to save you. Let's make sure we're clear on that. You can keep all the Shabbat days, all the feast days, and you keep all of the food laws, everything. Not enough to save you. Why? Because you only can be saved by mercy, by his mercy and grace. Because all of us were dead in our trespasses and sin. All of us. We once lived according to the course of this world. So we have to make sure we clear that up in our mind. That doing things is not, we're not doing things to obtain something. We don't do something to obtain the favor of God. We do it because we favor God. We favor him. We want to do what he wants us to do. Be what he wants us to be because he's been so good to us. For by favor you have been saved through belief. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Elohim. It is not by works. Not by works so that no one should boast. Not by, and he's talking about works of the law here. Not by works of the law. For we are his workmanship. Now he's going to tell us how this the order goes. We are his workmanship. Did we have to be, did there have to be a recreation of the humanity or what's going on inside of us? It's called being born again. So he's going to explain being born again right here. For we are his workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works. How many see that? Unto good works. So because he done what he did for us, we want to obey. How many want to obey him? Amen. Which Elohim prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He prepared them beforehand that we could walk in them. Did he have to write a new law for us to walk in? No, he already had a law to walk in. You walk in that law outside of salvation through Messiah Yeshua, you're just walking through the formalities of it. But once you walk in it after the salvation of Yeshua that comes by favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, through belief, then something miraculously happens in our life. Verse 11, therefore remember that you once nations in the flesh. Remember, how many see how many times I'm saying once here? We're not now nations in the flesh. Once we're nations in the flesh who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah. At that time, he explains our condition, without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Let's never forget that. So if we were excluded from the citizenship of Israel, that means what he's done for us now does what to us? Includes us in the citizenship of Israel. We were excluded from the citizenship and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no expectation and without Elohim in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once were far off, having been brought near by the blood of Messiah. And having come, he brought us as good news, peace to you who were far off, and peace to those near. Because through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The one Spirit is Yah's Spirit. Yah's Spirit, which represents in this center beam here, one Spirit is the only reason you're able to light the rest of them. You can't have that operation in your life that we talked about when we done becoming the light. This is very important. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners. How many understand that? No longer strangers and foreigners. If you're not a stranger and a foreigner, then that means you must be part of you, but your fellow citizens of the set apart ones and members of the household of Elohim. So if I'm a member of the household of Elohim, that means when I step through the threshold covenant, what do I have to abide by? He's covering me because do I need him to cover me? Well, you don't really need him to cover you until the Passover. The death angel comes and passes over. You want him to cover you, don't you? You say, well, it's not human. It is human nature. Anybody that ever dies on this earth, always at death, we somehow, some way get them to heaven. That's just what it is, because we don't want to see anybody perish. But the only protection you have, remember, it said if you don't put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, you're going to die. The death he's talking about is a no coming back death. But he said, if you apply the blood, which we get the blood from Yeshua, we apply it now, we're underneath his rule, his regulation, his Torah, his laws. We're underneath those. So when the death angel comes, he does what? He passes over us. There's no reason to apply that penalty to us because we're covered by the blood. How many understand that? How many thank God you're covered by the blood? Listen, this stuff gets better and better. It's amazing. And it's, if you apply these simple principles to our life, serving God is not difficult. What's difficult is to try to get Mishraim, Egypt, out of us. That's difficult because we've been doing it all our lives. It's trying to get church out of us. Uh-oh. I thought church was good. Well, it can be. It also can be evil. Listen, let me tell you, you want to make your life easier? Sometimes we got to forget some of the things we've learned. I've learned them, you've learned them, we all learned them. We're forgetting those things and we're looking at what the Word of God says. And that's why I challenge all of you, just take a good look at it for yourself. You'll see that this thing is not difficult. He made it very simple for us. Having been built upon foundations of the emissary and the prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being joined together grows into a set apart dwelling place in Yah. A set apart. It's set apart for the reason. It's for Yah. How many understand that? When he made the holy place, could anybody just go up in there and just sit down on the couch, plop their feet up, turn the television on and say, I'm hanging out in the holy place? They wouldn't do that. They would all die. Remember, there was all death penalties attached to these commands. They wouldn't do that. They had respect. It was set apart. It was nobody can be in there but Yah. Once a year, one time. I want you to think about this. One time a year, he was allowed to go in. Because it was set apart. Now, they can go in their house. They can go in your tent. That's yours. You go in and in and out every day. But this was set apart. How many of you understand that when he says set apart, that's what he means? It's set apart. Well, how many of you know that you're set apart? Know you not that you're the temple of Yah? You're set apart. He's trying to tell you that he's not trying to get you out of trying to change your mind about life. Listen, we was bound for death. He sends Yeshua to come and free us from death. And then he says, now you are the temple of the set apart one. He wants to dwell in us. You have to have Yah. Behold, the Spirit of Yah is on me. It's in me. And then it branches out from there. This is important to him. You got to see yourself that way. That's what makes me different. I'm not set apart because I'm set apart. You can't self-set apart. Remember I said to you last week, I'm 7 foot tall. But I wear 30 pants. You know, it's only 30. 7 foot, I'd have to have longer than that, right? I could say it all day long, but I'm still shopping in the 30 length. Think about that. You're not going to change that. Romans 11, 1. He said, I say then, has Elohim rejected the people? Did he reject his people? Did he reject his people? Let it not be. For I also am of Israel, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And Elohim has not rejected his people whom he knew beforehand. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Eliyahu, who he pled with Elohim against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed your prophets, overthrown your slaughtering places, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the answer of Elohim say to him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I know it looks bad to you. I know it looks like you're outnumbered. I know it looks like you don't have a whole lot of people sitting next to you. So we can go on and say that, Lord, I'm going to church and we don't have a lot of people. And he said, listen, you have more people than you think. I have 7,000 I reserved that didn't bow the knee to Baal. Let me tell you, there's somebody somewhere in this world who's hanging on to the same things you're hanging on to. They believe in the word of God. They have connected their hearts to it. You ought to be ecstatic. You ought to be happy. You ought to be proud that you're not the only ones. Or you can take approach just like Elijah did and go on and give the whining session to God. But after you're done whining, he listened to him. He says, but what does the answer of Elohim say to him? But what does the answer, how many excited about the answer of Elohim? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So therefore also at this present time, a remnant according to the choice of favor has come to be. I don't know about you, but I should have highlighted that part right there, because the remnant has come to be. He's reserved you. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you excited. That ought to make you proud that he is a God that loves you. That he said, I got a people. They're on a peninsula somewhere. I got them. I got them reserved for me. They're not going to give in to nonsense. They're not going to give in to theories. They're going to go back to my word, and I'll change their life forever. And I'll use them to be a light, the menorah, the mentorah to men. I'll use them, but they have to hear me. Is that you today? Is that you? You dedicate your life to the things of God, and God's going to dedicate all the blessings are coming to you. You couldn't do enough if you took all 7 days and worked as hard as you could until you can't go no more. You couldn't do enough to amount to when God releases to you. You couldn't do enough. I'm preaching this thing all over again. So therefore also at this present time, a remnant according to the choice of favor has come to be. That's us. Somebody said, that's me. I didn't highlight it, but somebody ought to be doing it right now. But if by favor, it is no longer that works. Otherwise, favor is no longer favor. And if it is of works, it is no longer favor. Otherwise, works is no longer works. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the chosen did obtain it, and the rest were hardened. Verse 8, and it has been written, Yah has given them the spirit of deep sleep, eyes that not to see and ears not to hear until this day. That's in Deuteronomy 29, verse 4, and Isaiah 29:10. David also says, let their table become a snare and for a trap and for a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened not to see and bow down their back always. In Psalm 69, 22-23. I say then, Have they stumbled that they should fall? Let it not be. Have they stumbled that they would fall? Let it not be. But by their fall, deliverance has come to the nation to provoke them to jealousy. Come to the Gentiles, is what it's saying. Come to the Goyim. Deliverance came to provoke jealousy, to let them know. Let me tell you, this is a hard thing. It's very difficult if you're a group of people who's been chosen. He told Abraham, he said, come out from among them and separate yourself. I've called you. Leave your father, your mother, and your kindred. Go to the place that I'll show you. So Abraham comes out and he makes a special people. He gives them a law, the Torah. He gives them all these things, and they're keeping these things. But he's trying to let them know, you can keep them all, but until you accept the Messiah, the only one that can save you, you can't be saved by works alone. You're going to need Messiah. He's going to have to come and bring deliverance to you. So he's telling them all these things. And he says, this is God in his infinite wisdom. He says, how can I really get them to get on to this? How can I really get them to see this? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll save the nations. I'll save the nations, the ones that you wouldn't never think they had a chance. Who would have thought you'd have had a chance living in Plaquemines Parish? God said, I'll save the nations. I'm going to save them, and I'll create jealousy. They'll be jealous for me. Because they'll say, if he can save them, he can save. And we're his people, the chosen. Think about that. So he said, I'll provoke them to jealousy. And if they fall in riches for their world, in their failure, riches for the nations, how much more their completeness? For I speak to you, the nations, and as much as I am an emissary to the nations, I esteem my service. Listen, Paul knew he was an emissary to the nations. That's what God called him to. He knew that. He started it with Peter when he told Peter, go down to Cornelius' house. There's something happening here. And Peter looked at the saint. He said, okay, this is not something we're common. This is odd, God, but I'll go. And he says, the same set of partners fell on them as fell on us. He said it was the same from at the beginning. What was he talking about? Acts 2. On Shavuot, when the Spirit fell, and what he's referring to, he said the same commands came on Mount Sinai on us is the same commands came to Cornelius. It was no different. Same thing. What he commanded us at Mount Sinai, he commanded this Gentile person, Cornelius, in his whole house. And the scripture says while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell and set them apart. They were no different than Israel. Isn't that amazing? This is just a wonderful how God unfolds this. And somehow I might provoke jealousy to those who are my flesh. And save some of them. Now he's talking about his brethren. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Romans 11:15. For if their casting away is the restoration to favor of the world, what is their acceptance but life from the dead? Now if the first fruit be set apart, the lump is also. And if the root is set apart, so are the branches. How many see that? He said, he's just describing us in a simple way how this works. And if some be the branches, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, having been grafted in among them, and came to share the root and the fatness of the olive tree. What are we sharing? The root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now, we're grafted in, but we're sharing the root and the fatness. Isn't it amazing? We get grafted in and we want to be the tree. We want to tell the root what to do. You know, so you coming in and you're all that orange can be. I mean, I'm a satsuma. And I'm so satsuma in my ways, I'm going to turn this olive tree into a satsuma tree. You just watch me. And that's what the church has done. We took the olive tree and we made it what we wanted it to be. You can only go for that for so long. And then some God's going to come and he's going to say, hey, let me just hard head. Let me just tell you something. You can't do that. Do not boast against the branches. Because if you boast, remember, you did not bear the root, but the root bears you. What happens to the tree that the branches cut off and you put it on the side? What happens to the branch that you cut off? It dries up. It ain't going to live because the root is not connected to it. How many want the root connected to you? Well, let me tell you, we can't change what the root is because we want to be a satsuma. Well, I'm just not going to be this olive branch because now we got the satsumas here. And we are known for satsumas and plaquemines. It's what we want to be. That might be what you were. But now, you're connected to the olive. And that's what he wants you to be. And only God could do that. Isn't that amazing? You shall say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Good. By unbelief, they were broken off. Why? Unbelief. And you stand by what? Belief. For by grace are you saved through belief. So that's faith, but through belief. By grace are you saved through belief. Or by favor you're saved through belief. So he says, you shall then say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Good. By unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. One of them is the fear of Yah. You better keep that one lit because you'll go off somewhere and become what you want to be. So live for Yah, you're going to stay in the parameters of the Torah. You're going to stay in the parameters of the Tanakh. You're going to understand the Brit Hadishah. It's him just expressing it so we can get it. You have to understand why the Brit Hadishah was written. Because Gnosticism had done flooded the area. And they became so super spiritual that they saw the spirit of God, their so-called God, whatever it was. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what he says. Any given week, at least four, maybe more, but at least four of the 10 words are being broken every week because we worship him as Yah, but we don't acknowledge him as that. We call him, oh, we praise you, God, we praise you. We honor you. And we sing songs. He said their lips are right there with it. You can't hardly tell. I mean, they're right with it. But y'all can tell. He said, but their heart is nowhere near to be found in the building. And I just read to you what he expects of us. Hear, O Israel. Yah, your Elohim, Yah is one. He's wanting us to listen. Listen to what he's saying. You shall say then, the branches were broken off that we might be grafted in. Good. By unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if Elohim, notice this verse, for if Elohim did not spare the natural branch. Notice that he did not spare the natural branch. Why didn't he spare the natural branch? Because that branch didn't bear what? No fruit. It didn't bear no fruit. You couldn't tell it was on the tree of Yah. You couldn't tell. Because every time Yah come out to see the fruit of the labor that he made, of the creation he made, the things he was doing, every time he came out, there was nothing there. There was no reason for that branch to be there anymore, so he took it out of the way. But if Elohim did not spare the natural branch, he might not spare you either. Let's never forget that. What do we constantly have to be doing? Producing fruit that matches our words. Producing fruit that matches what we say. If we're going to say we're Torah keepers, then we ought to be keeping the Torah. And if you're not born again, keeping the Torah is a waste of your time. You can't be born again by keeping Torah. For by grace you have been saved by belief. Favor is saved you. You have to accept that saving power is from Yeshua and Yeshua alone. There is no other way. Yeshua alone. And it's by belief. Believing that what he said he done for you is a real fact. And you accept that. Then after that, you have been what? What has happened to you? You have been propelled, as it were. Pushed along or wooed along by the set apart one. To start doing what? Keeping his commands. You're in a different house now. You can't be in his house and do it like the world's house. You can't do that. We're in a different system now. We're not following after the world, we're following after Yah. Amen? Verse 22. See then that the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who fell, sharpness, but toward you kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. I mean, see that. What's the important word here? Continue. You have to continue in doing what he said. It's not a one-time thing. You don't come and say, oh yeah, we kept Passover last year. What are y'all doing this year? Well, you know, it's just hard to give up Easter. That is not a qualifier. It's not a qualifier. A one-time deal is not a qualifier. Well, I go to church. How many times you been this week? How many times you been this month? Well, it's been a while since I've been. You think that's a qualifier? What about a commitment to God? Listen, verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, you can't continue in what? Unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. Now, who is he talking about? Them branches he cut off. They look like a heap pile of debris. It looks like all the leaves have done fell off, ain't nothing but a bunch of twigs. But I don't know about you, but I remember a prophecy that was spoken. I remember how he said, shall a nation live again? Shall a nation live again? What about when he spoke the words and says, what do you see? What do you see? He said, I see a valley of dead people, dry bones. There's nothing left. There's no meat. There's no tissue. There's no sinew. Nothing's there. It's just a valley of dry bones. He says, speak to them. Speak what? Speak the truth. Speak my Torah. Speak the scripture to them. That's the only thing going to bring life to you. If you want life in you, you got to have the truth spoke to you. And what it does, it brings back the tissue. It brings back the sinew and the muscle. It gives strength. It clears up the dryness. And it produces in you what God wants. Can a nation live again? That was the question. Can a nation live again? I'm telling you, that nation will live again. He said, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, you can't continue in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. I don't know about you, but that is wonderful words. For if you were cut off, for if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature. I mean, you understand that. Contrary to nature. Unto a good olive tree. How much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I took you, you were wild. You couldn't be touched. And I taught you my word. I showed you how we spent, I don't know how much time we spent standing about right here trying to explain to you. You got to get used to the hand because you're wild. Some of you still wild. You don't like to be touched by the word of God. Man, every time pastor talks, he offends me. Listen, if you're thinking I have some personal thing here, if you want to talk about me as a person, I'd much rather be sitting where you're sitting and just doing what I listen, going to church would be easy. But being responsible for people's life day in and day out, being responsible for whether or not you're going to make it or not, it's not easy. But this is what it is. It's called the call of the ministry. And if I'd have knew it all then, I'd have walked away from it. But he only told me what I needed to know then. But I can tell you now, if I am going to do it, you're going to hear what Yah says to the church. You're going to hear it so I can be clear when I stand before him that you didn't get some pity-patty, some patty cake message where something you went home and said, boy, that inspired me. I'm not here to give you inspiration. You can get them. You can buy those tapes. Those tapes come out and they cost. You buy those tapes, inspiration stuff. Get your inspirational book if that's what you're here for. I'm just here to tell you the plain truth. The reason we struggle, the reason we get in these tasks with the enemy, and it looks like we're losing, because we don't put God to the task at his own word. And if he said it, either he's a liar or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, we win, we win, we win, we win. Do you understand that? And I'm here talking about a people that you might not seem like you're much, but God wants to put you on the winning track. He wants to highlight you. He wants to draw a line under your name and say, that's mine right there. That's mine. But in order to be his, we got to make some decisions. And sometimes them decisions are hard. God wants you to be, listen, if he's trying to show you off, he's not going to leave you in your rags. He's not going to leave you poor mountain, can't hardly figure it out. He's going to set you on a hill. The light, remember the light? He lights it, he puts you on a hill. So it can't be, you don't put it under a bushel. No, no, you don't do that. You let it be seen. That's what he wants to do for all of us. Amen? For I do not wish you to be ignorant of this secret, brothers. Lest you should be wise in your own estimation. That the hardness in part has come over Israel until the completeness of the nations has come in. That's why it happened. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion, and he shall turn away the wickedness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And it's in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. Truly, as regards to the good news, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the choice, they are beloved and for the sake of the Father. He said, I didn't forget. Let me just tell you, God won't forget Israel. The nation Israel, he will not forget them. And right now they're in a bad state. And I can tell you, it's going to get 1,000 times worse. But he'll do everything he can to bow the knee. He'll do everything he can. For the gift and callings of Elohim are without repentance, or not to be repented of. For as you also at one time disobeyed Elohim, but now have obtained compassion through that disobedience, so also these have now disobeyed, that through the compassion shown you might also obtain compassion. For Elohim has shut them all up to disobedience in order to have compassion on all. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable his judgments, untraceable his ways. For who had known the mind of Yah, who had become his counselor? Or who first gave to him, and it shall be given back to him. Because of him, and through him, and to him, are all to whom be esteemed forever. Amen. Amen. God is good to us. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desires of my Father in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and in your name done many mighty works in your name? Now, what is that speaking of? That, to me, seems to be the church in general. We use the name of Jesus. That's the qualifier, you know. Let me just tell you how far this is going. I was asked one time in a setting, I'd already spoken for 20, 30 minutes, and I opened up for questions, and I got to ask this question. You didn't say Jesus one time. That seems to be demonic. That was a qualifier. Because if I'd have said it in the name of Jesus, everything I said was fine. He just got finished saying, they'll say, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name? If I'd have prophesied, qualifier. If I'd have cast out a demon, qualifier. Done many mighty works in your name, qualifier. Name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. And then, this is what the Master says. And then I shall declare unto them, I never knew you. The word knew is we never had any intimacy at all. We had we had not koinoned. You knew about me enough to use my name, but you did nothing that I said. Think about that. That's the church in general. I was kind of shocked by the question. I said, excuse me? She didn't hear anything besides the fact that I never said Jesus. And that was her qualifier. Anyway, I had to talk with him after about it, and just hopefully it helped him. I don't know. Exodus 31, verse 12. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, and you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you are to guard by all means. If I say that, well, let's just use it this way. If you have a child and you giving them directions because they're not listening, and you just use what I highlighted there. You are to guard by all means. You think maybe they'll get what you're saying? You ought to do what I say by all means. And I mean now. They're not going to think you're kidding with them. There goes Mama joking again with her. They're not going to think that because you use terms that let them know I mean what I'm telling you. And this did not use this. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you ought to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yah, am setting you apart. So what is it? It's a sign. What are signs used for? Sometimes signs are used to prevent something terrible from happening. They're preventing. So if you're going down the road and it says bridge out ahead, you don't speed up to go see. Why? Because the bridge is out ahead. Like in front of you, the bridge is out. So then you get closer to where the bridge is out, and they got these barricades. They white with orange lines on them, and it says, danger. You're the driver. You're in charge. Your foot is on the gas. You got your own brain. The car can't think. I know we got smart cars and smartphones, but you're the one. Let me just tell you something. Turn your phone off. Ooh, that'd be... I'm just using it as an example, okay? I felt that. Now, turn your phone off. Just turn it off, right? You got it off. Do you think the phone's going to open itself up and start texting? It's like guns. Guns hurt people. You take the gun and you set it there on the table for 1,000 years and don't put humans around it. You think it's going to load itself? And starts trying to find somebody. It's not going to happen. We think differently. It's always something else's fault but man. Always somebody else's fault. Listen, he's trying to tell us something here. He's trying to let us know that we have to make sure that the Sabbath is set apart for a reason. There's a reason behind it. And you shall speak to the children of my Sabbath, so you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation. So how do we look at the Sabbath? We look at the Sabbaths as a sign, and that sign's telling us something. It's telling us something. And I'm going to get to those things that it tells us. I'm setting you apart. And you shall guard the Sabbath, for it is set apart to you. Not Yah. It's not set apart for Yah. It's set apart to you. Remember that. Everyone who profanes it shall certainly be put to death. For anyone who does not work, for anyone who does work on it, that being shall be cut off from among his people. Cut off. We can explain what that means. Well, he explains it a little later. Verse 15, 6 days is done. 6 days. Six is the number of man. Hence the number six, six, six. It's the number of man. For on the sixth day, he created man. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. The question is, does God need to be refreshed? Or was he doing it to be an example to those who do? We don't do a thing here without an example. I just want you to know that. Nobody's making anything up. You didn't make anything up. Regardless of what you believe, I didn't make anything up. We all have examples. Examples. He sent Yeshua to be an example. Send Paul to be an example. They've done those things to be an example. John came before Yeshua to be the forerunner. What was he preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. What did Yeshua preach? Repent, for the kingdom of Yah is near you. Wow. And the children of Israel shall guard the Sabbath to perform the Sabbath throughout their generation as an everlasting covenant. Now, so we have day one. On day one, what is he doing on day one? We go back to Genesis. What is he doing? He's creating. He's doing some things. He's calling into existence things that don't exist. It's amazing. Day two, day three, day four, day six, he creates man. Day seven, what does he create on day seven? He creates an opportunity for man to refresh. Hallelujah. Remember, the Sabbath was made for man. Who said that? Who's the one that we're quoting? Who said that? Yeshua. What have we been studying? Everything he said. The Sabbath was made for man. Wow. Verse 17, between me and the children of Israel, it is a sign for how long? Forever. Now, let's get back to the feast days. I started preaching on the feast days, and I used a lot of times in my preaching the important thing that this is everlasting or it's forever. And I got, amen. Right? Well, can I change the meaning of those words when I get to Sabbath? Think about it. You can't change them because they mean what they say. Between me is forever, for in 6 days. Everybody say 6 days. Say 6 days is for me. For in 6 days, Yah made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Refreshed. Question is, does Yah need to be refreshed? He slumbers nor sleeps. So what type of rest he's having if he slumbers nor sleeps? Last time I checked myself, when I rest, I sleep. You feel refreshed. He's doing it as an example. He said, I could do everything I need to do in 6 days. The seventh day is the time I refresh. What refreshes him is when he meets with you. And if he's refreshed, you got to be refreshed. We're talking about God, Yah, meets with us. Verse 18, and when he had ended speaking with him on the mount, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moshe two tablets of the witness, tablets of stone written with the finger of Elohim. Wow. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete and all their array. And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart. What did he do to the... So we're not just talking about the seventh day as a rest. The seventh day also was done what? It was blessed. By whom? By Yah. Yah blessed the seventh day and set it apart, meaning there is not another day in the seven like this one. When is it? Is it the fourth day? No. Is it the first day? No. When does everybody at church celebrate going to church? On the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Look at your calendar. It's the first day. You think I'm making this stuff up? We never gave it any thought. That he said plainly, on the seventh day you take that break. So we're trying to do something he never commanded us to do, doing best we can with it, but we rested on the first day. More than likely, most of the time, we played on the seventh day. Just like man, whatever God told him he can't have, he wants. Of every tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden. This is no slouch garden. This is a paradise. It's not your backyard tomato bush. Your little cucumber climbing up the fence there. Every tree of the garden, he said, you can have any one you want. They're yours. But this one, don't touch it. Don't you take that one. What does man want? That one. Any day of the week, you could have for you. But the seventh day, that's mine. Which one we want? The seventh one. Just like man. See, we got to get that part of us out of us. Yes. Start being obedient to God and saying, Lord, I'm not taking what's yours. I'm going to honor what's yours. I'm just telling you, could you imagine the life you could live? Healthy, rested, financially, mentally, spiritually sound, if you just did it his way. We won't know until we try. How do we know? How do we know until we try it? That's what we're doing. We're going to give it all we got and put God to the test, his word. That's your word. You said it. We're going to do it. How many? Amen. Because on it he rested from all his work, which Elohim had in creating had made. Exodus 12, verse 36. And Yah gave the people favor in the eyes of Mitzrayites, the Mitzrayites of Egypt, so that they gave them what they asked. He gave them what? Favor. Everybody say favor. So they gave them what they asked, and they plundered the Mitzrayites. What does it mean to plunder? It's like if somebody's got something, and you go and ask him, say, hey, can I have that? Oh, yeah, you can have that one. And you go and take them all. You plundered them. It's like some of you at a person's house and say, they got biscuits on the table. These warm biscuits with real butter. And you say, hey, can I have a biscuit? And you eat them all. You plundered them. So Israel's leaving, right? They're leaving the Mitzrayites, the Egyptians, leaving them. And you know what God says? Ask them for their gold. They said, oh, you mean this bracelet? Yeah, I got 10 of them. They took all 10. They did that because they had favor. I want you to get this because it's important. And the children of Israel set out for Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot beside the little ones. And a mixed, I want you to get this, and a mixed multitude went up with them too. Kind of throw that in there. Just so you know, it wasn't just Israel that had favor, but a mixed multitude had favor. There were some Egyptians in this group. There was different nationalities in this group that went up. And that I counted. He counted the beginning, but there was a mixed multitude that went up with them too, besides what went up. Also flocks and herds and very much livestock. I'm getting somewhere with this mixed multitude because it's important. I'll talk about it in a little bit. Exodus 16, verse 11. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the evenings, you are to eat meat. And in the morning, you are to be satisfied with bread. Evening, meat. Morning, bread. Evening, meat. Morning, bread. Anybody against that so far? Evenings, meat. Morning, bread. No amen. That's amazing. To be here in South Louisiana. And I'm telling you, evenings, meat. Morning, bread. You're acting like y'all never had meat and bread before. Between the evenings, you ought to eat meat. In the morning, you ought to be satisfied with bread. And you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim. Now, no, this might not mean nothing to you because we have meat and bread when we want. We just pull up at the grocery store and get which kind we like. They were in a desert. I get meat and bread and I got no stores around. How is this going to happen? He's telling them. He's letting them know. He said, when you do what I tell you, I'm going to take care of you. Anybody need taken care of? Last time I looked, I need taken care of. I ask him every day to keep my life, watch over me. And it came to be that quails came up in the evening and covered the camp. So deep they was up to the knees, up to the thigh area. Think about that. Quail. That's exciting. Talk about a cubby. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. The dew lay all around the camp. And the layer of dew went up and see on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw, and they said to each other, what is it? Now they fool around with stuff all their lives. And they asked the question, what is it? I don't know about you, but I want to get in a position that I have to ask on a daily basis, what's this? Because you didn't work for it. You didn't have it scheduled. You didn't have it booked, but it came. Does anybody want some of that? It came because when you do your stuff his way, you'll be asking the same question on a weekly basis. What is it? What is this? Is anybody ready for that? That's what happens when you follow Yah. They said, what is it? For they had not known what it was. And Moshe said to them, it is the bread which Yah has given you to eat. That's what happens when you keep his commands. You and I have been eating bread, but it's been the bread we provide. Yah wants to give you something that you didn't work for. He said, when you do what I say, you'll live in houses you didn't build. You eat from vineyards you didn't plant. Do you understand? When you go out, you'll be blessed. When you come back, you'll go out with a full basket and come in with a full basket. Amen. We just got to start doing it his way. It changed your life forever. Your life will be changed when week after week you say, what is it? Where'd it come from? Listen, that's when you all get together. You want to be in church the next time when that happens. You want to be involved when something's going on. You ain't got to beg nobody when they're in the blessing to get with it. They're with it. But you don't see that in your life. You see that you struggle week after week after week, and you're barely getting around. But God wants to change that. But we got to make a stand. We got to take a stand. When you stand, you'll see how wonderful this thing is. It is the bread that Yah has given you to eat. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I provide the bread for my house. But I want the bread that Yah provides. He promised it to me, and I can get it, but I got to obey him. I got to do what he says. This is the word which Yah has commanded. Now, this is very important. Let every man gather it. What is it? The bread that Yah provides. Let every man gather it according to one's need. An omer for each being, according to the number of beings. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Who are responsible for? Those in our tent. Talk to the men for a second. You're responsible for those in your tent. Not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And so you're going to have to gather for those in the tent. But you're also going to have faith that on the day that Yah picks for you to acknowledge him, you're not trying to gather for those in the tent, because you'll bring that against the tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And they measured it by an omer, and he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered according to his need. How many of you see that? And Moshe said, let no one leave any of it until morning. There's a reason for that. You don't have to hoard it, because Yahweh provides it all the time. And we don't see that as that, but that's exactly what it is. It's a sense of no trust. No trust in Yah. He's going to provide what he said he would. Now watch this. And they did not listen to Moshe. Isn't that amazing? They did not listen to Moshe. So some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moshe was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, each one according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And it came to be on the sixth day. Everybody say the sixth day. Now this is important, because the sixth day, things change. Things change on the sixth day. And it came to be on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers, for each one. Why is the sixth day important to us? Because you should do what you need to do on the sixth day to be ready for the Sabbath rest. So two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moshe. And he said to them, this is what Yah has said. Tomorrow is a rest. What day that would have been if we was had the conversation on the sixth day, and he says tomorrow. What day would that be? The seventh day Sabbath. Tomorrow is a rest, a Sabbath set apart to Yah. Wow. That which you bake, and that which you cook, cook, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over to keep it until morning. So what is going to happen on the sixth day? Not the fifth day, but on the sixth day. Will worms get in it? See, this is where we've been going wrong. We've been doing a lot of working, but the worms has been in our bank account. It's kind of got a little smelly because we want to do it when we want to do it. God says you can only do that on the sixth day. On that sixth day. See, he wants to double everything you do on the sixth day. But he wants us to practice that. So we get our stuff done, and that way on the seventh day, we're still not thinking, oh God, what am I going to do about tomorrow? If you're doing that, even though you're here, you're not here. You got to be free from all of that. He says, lay it up for yourself, all that is left over, to keep it until morning. And they laid it up until morning, and Moshe commanded. And it did not stink. And no worm was in it. And Moshe said, eat it today, for today is a Shabbat unto Yah. It's the Shabbat, it's Sabbath. Today you do not find it in the field. It's not going to be there. So we've done a lot of stuff on that day, and it's all like putting money in bags with holes in it. You labor, but it's hard to see at the end of the year. Where did it go? What's going on, Lord? I can tell you what's going on. This is what's going on. He wants to put you in that spot where it's going to be absolutely incredible. What is it? How did this happen? That's what he wants to send your way. He wants to give you favor with him and man. Anybody want that favor? Gather it 6 days, but on the seventh day, which is a Shabbat, there is none. And it came to be that some of the people, this is, you're either going to be what I just said, or you're going to be this right here. Some of the people went out on the seventh day and gathered together, but they found none. Oh, but I went out, I made some money. Just let me know how that works for you later on in life. Let me know. We could come up here and we ask God for a miracle physically, but we physically drain ourselves because we won't take a break. But we just get in the prayer line. Let's break it and let him fix it. He's the maintenance man. Did you know that? That's what he is. He's the maintenance guy. We break it and send it to God. Let him fix it. You know, when you're not the maintenance man, you'll drive it like you stole it. But if it's yours, you won't do that. Because you're the maintenance guy. You're the one that's going to pay the consequence. But if somebody else has got to fix it, you don't matter if it breaks. Is that how we're going to treat Yah? Let him fix it because we can break it and let him. He's God. He could do it. That's not what we do. We got to listen to what he says. He's telling us, if you do that, you're going to break it. If you do that, you're going to break it. And when it's broke, he says, I told you it was going to break it. It's like when you was a little kid, you know, and you get a new toy, and the mama says, yeah, you're going to break it. It's not made for that. And you just do it and tear it up, and there it is. You don't want it no more. And we get that laxical with our own lives. We have no energy to put ourselves in a position of blessing. So we pull them out that everybody else is trying to do it. And we say, well, they always think they're better than us. It's not about one being better. It's about one listening and paying attention, because God don't want you there. He don't want you there at all. And the way you get out of that is you'll be obedient to his word. There's not one person hearing my voice today that God doesn't want to put you in his blessing. What is the Sabbath? He blessed the Sabbath. He blessed it. So whatever it is, it's got blessings attached to it. And Yah said to Moshe, how long shall you refuse to guard my commands and my Torah? The word Torah is the Torah in the plural. It's everything I'm telling you. My Torah. Wow. Exodus 20, verse 8. Some of these things I'm repeating because they need to be repeated. Remember the Shabbat day. Remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. So this is the one of the 10 words, but he starts this 10 words. Remember, they all started, thou shall. Thou shall, right? But this one, everybody say number 4. What did he say? Remember. 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 He starts it out with remember. Remember the Sabbath to set it apart. 6 days you labor and shall do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath unto Yah, your Elohim. You do not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yah blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. Wow. I know, listen, if you never have enough time in a week, you never will. That's a bad habit to get in. I just don't have enough time. You don't understand. I gotta get this done, and I'll be done. You'll never be done. Ever. It's always going to be something. Because let me tell you, the enemy will see to it that there's always something. And you say, oh, man, Yah's just testing me. He ain't testing you. He's trying to get your hard head to soften up a little bit. He ain't testing you. There ain't no test. This is not a test. Listen, this is not a test. Bam. No test. He told you already plainly, don't do it. I mean, know what don't means. Two. That means two? No, don't. Romans 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities having been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. How do we see his invisible qualities? By looking at that which was made. Why? Because they're clearly seen. Being understood from what has been made. Both his everlasting power and his mightiness, for them to be without excuse. Well, I just don't know. You know, I'm just not convinced yet that Yah can really take care of me. Really. He made all of creation in 6 days. What have you done in 6 days? Think about it. Man, this week it got away from me. It's going to keep getting away from you. I wanted to get the grass done, didn't get that. I wanted to get the car washed, didn't do that. There's not enough time. It's going to be that way. It's going to continue to be that way. Yah did everything in 6 days, and if he could do all what he did in 6 days, your life is too hectic if you can't do it in 6 days. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning. Now listen, to become vain means you weren't. And if you weren't, means you're his. But you can be his and become vain because you don't listen. I'm going to read that again because these are some of the highlights we miss. And I'm telling you this by a set apart spirit, revealing this. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their undiscerning hearts was darkened. Why was it an undiscerning heart? Because they didn't realize that they seen the sign a mile back, said, bridge is out. Remember Shabbat. Well, what does that mean, bridge out? Well, we're going to find out. Speed up in life. Go all you got. Go 7 days a week. Just go all you got. And what happens? Your undiscerning heart gets darkened. Just so happened that night, the maintenance crew didn't turn the lights on where the danger sign was. And after that, it's 1,000 feet down in the river. And you're going to plow right off that ravine. Because you can't even see it because your discerning heart is darkened. It's amazing how well we see other people's life, but we don't see ours. Oh, the Lord showed me that if they don't change. Well, listen, before the Lord showed you about them, I'm sure he's been trying to tell you about you. And you're a mess. We got to change these things because that, listen, It's not, we think certain things make us. It's who we are. If we want revelation from God, we got to apply our life to him. And we can't be trying to just find it for our own benefit. We got to put our lives on the line and say, Lord, I want what you said, and I want it to be clearly seen so I can say it to the people. Is he saying it clear to you? Romans 1:22, claiming, here's what happened, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Do you understand that? Claiming to be wise, they became fools. This is when you got it. I got it. You got it until. I'm doing good. I got it. Until they became fools. And changed the esteem of the incorruptible Elohim unto the likeness of an image of corruptible man, of birds and four-footed beasts and of reptiles. So just, this goes on into all sorts of teaching at verse 23. We'll get to that when we talk about the food laws. Did I say that? Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves. Listen, you want to talk about this disrespecting the bodies? Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to disrespect their bodies among themselves. Listen, this is not, I know we can take this to a different level. This is the people that's on the bad list, and we can go preach 24 to the bad list. But I'm not talking to the bad list, I'm talking to you today. How does this affect you? This is where it all starts. This is where it all starts, that you don't have enough sense to realize that you're not teaching them when they lay down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way. And so you're giving them over to disrespect their own bodies amongst themselves. First, the themselves is in the household. It's in the house. Somebody's got to take a stand. And I'm not going to disrespect anymore my wife or the people that live with me. I'm going to do everything that I can to be the person that after I receive salvation and I receive salvation from grace and belief, that I am now his workmanship. What is to be a workmanship? He's still working. He's now turning the tide for me, and I'm his workmanship created unto good works. That means my walk with him ought to get sharper. My commitment to the Torah ought to get better. Not worse, ought to get better. And what did the church do? Torah's over. Torah's over, New Testament. Grace. How you making it today? Grace. How you doing today? Grace. That's what it is. It's all grace. But they're not realizing we are created. We his masterpiece. We as a recreation happen. Unto, what's it for? Unto good works. We want to obey Torah. Amen? How many are ready for this? Who changed the truth of Elohim into a falsehood. Who changed the truth of Elohim unto a falsehood and worshiped and served what was created rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That's where it winds up. At the end of your life, you go, wow, man, I just think God's everywhere. So talking like you done smoked one. Wow. The wow needs to be the fact that you see that there was a Creator who did it all in 6 days. And showing that you believe that, you leave the wow man or that attitude of Gnosticism that no matter where I go, I can be, if I'm on the mountain, he's on the mountain. If I go in the valley, he's there, grace. But we won't do a thing he said. The Sabbath comes and goes, and we're just looking at it. Oh, so wonderful. The trees are blowing. I had my Shabbat over there in the woods. Did you gather? No. Well, he said to. Why didn't you? What did you do Friday? Well, I didn't do anything Friday. I just worked. Was you ready for Shabbat? No. Friday's a preparation day. Do you know that? It's a finishing of a work cycle and you're preparing for the Shabbat. It's a preparation day. And I can show you that all. It's all throughout Scripture. Again, I'm just giving you the small version here. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them. For it is in this Torah and the prophets. Enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to what? Destruction. It leads to destruction. And there are many who enter in through it, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard, pressed, which leads to life. And there are few who finds it. Is this going to be difficult? Well, sure it's going to be difficult. Is it going to be easy change? No, it's not going to be easy. But the ones who find it, it's because they're looking for it. The ones who do it, it's because they want to do it. They're in it. Don't be a person who's got to get dragged. Listen, I spend most of my life in a ministry dragging people to church, dragging people to pray, dragging people to study their Bible. Listen, you're not supposed to be one that's dragged anywhere. You got to have compassion about this. And you don't have to be dragged on the broad road. You just go, you know, you guys got to be in the right place at the right time with the right song, and you're on it. It just happens. It's a natural thing. But you got to work hard at getting on the straight path. You got to work really hard at it. It's a task. It's life. You want life at its best? It's going to take some doing. There's no easy come. It just comes, and there's no problem. You got to work hard at it. If you want anything in life, you got to work hard at it. He's trying to show you that if you work hard and you add me to the equation, he said, it's going to be amazing. How many want an amazing life? What about an average life? It's funny I didn't get a couple of amens, because we get super spiritual then, you know. Well, you know, it don't really matter to me if it's average. That's how I'll be good with that, Lord. You know, don't try to sell yourself as humility before God, because you just say, I'll settle for average. Did you hear what he said? If you do what I ask you to do, I'll just give you average. He didn't say that. He's the provider. We make God out to be like he's a slave master and he drives you down and you're going to only get average. That's not what he's talking about here. He wants you to know that there's blessings when you do and obey what he says. Because the gate is narrow and the way is hard pressed, which leads to life, and there'll be few that find it. Do not love the world. Do not love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor that which is in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Remember, this all goes back to Ephesians, what I opened with. Once. We once was that, but you can't be. If you once was that and you're loving it still, did anything change in your life? Do not love the world, nor that which is in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What did we read about loving the Father? Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three things are going to be the three things that drag every person down where you fault and miss God. Three things. How many can keep up with three things? What is it? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's the three things that they failed in the garden. She saw the tree, it was good for food, a tree to be desired to make one wise. There you go. Well, let me tell you, you weren't in the garden. Not one of us were here in the garden, but you're in your garden right now. And it's going to be these things that drag you down, or you can overcome these three. If you don't get these things under wraps, you'll never succeed serving God. You're just passing through, you're having your moment, but you won't succeed serving God. How many want to succeed? You will not succeed if you can't overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. It's of the world. Now, Satan in the garden represented the world. He had to produce these three things in the life of Eve and Adam. Adam had a shot, but it was just beside me what he was thinking. It's crazy. And the world passeth away. What does it do? It passes away. And the lust of it does what? Passes away. But the one doing the desire of Elohim remains forever. Does that help anybody here today? It helps you forever. What do you got to do? Just do what Yah says. Do what He says. Why? Because three things. That's all you got to handle. Three things you got to watch out for. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Three things. That's what the enemy is going to come at you with at every level. It's going to be hinged on those three things. That's what happens. Man wants what man wants because he looks at it and he seems to think he's got it figured out. That's what happened to Eve and Adam. That's what happened to all those that came after them. That's what happened to you and I. We got where we got because we desired something we couldn't have. But, the one doing the desire of Elohim. What is Elohim's desire? What is His desire? What does He desire? That we keep His word. We do that, we'd remain forever. Anybody want to remain forever? The Sabbath. So I read Exodus 31. I went through that already. So I'm not going to read it again. I put it in just as some reminders. The Sabbath. And Yah spoke to Moshe and said, speak to the children of Israel. My Sabbaths you are to guard by all means. How many remember that? Okay, so the Sabbath. Let me give you these last ones. We'll close. The Sabbath is something that worships our Creator. So the worship of the Creator, and He gives you a day to do that. Now, we're to worship Him as many times as we can throughout that week. But the worship of our Creator on this thing, on this Shabbat, is very important. So that's what He's telling us. It's the Sabbath is an indication that you are going to worship Him because you believe He's your Creator. So what's one of the reasons I should keep Shabbat? Because He's my Creator. I didn't create myself. He's my Creator. Remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. 6 days that you labor, you do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, your Elohim. Do not do any work, you nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. The Sabbath is worship of our Redeemer. The Sabbath is worship of our Redeemer. I mean, you know, it's important that we understand that. So let's look at Deuteronomy 5. It's the same thing as Exodus, but it's a different account. Let's look at it. Guard the Sabbath day to set it apart, as Yah, your Elohim, commanded you. 6 days you labor and shall do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yah, your Elohim. Do not do any work, you nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servant, nor your female servants, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your strangers who's within your gates, so that your male servants and your female servants rest as you do. Rest as you do. And you shall remember. Now here's a little extra, because we didn't get this in the Exodus account. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the lands of Mizraim in Egypt, and that Yah your Elohim brought you out from there by a strong hand and by an outstretched arm. What was His response when they began to honor Him? He brought them out. How many know we got to come out of Egypt? We got to come out of Egypt. Therefore, Yah your Elohim commanded you to perform the Sabbath day. So we're honored because He's the Redeemer. He brought us out of bondage, of slavery, of certain death. We ought to honor Him on the Sabbath day. So we honor Him as what? We worship Him as Creator. We worship Him as Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 5:7, therefore cleanse out the old leaven so that you are a new lump. As you are unleavened, for also Messiah our Pesach was slaughtered for us. Thank God we've got Shabbat is going to be coming. It's like you can't wait. It's in April. It's a long way away. We want it. So what do? Cleanse out the old leaven. You could be made a new lump. That's what you do on Shabbat. It's a part of going to... So why do I come to church on the Sabbath? To do those things. Remember the Creator. Worship Him as Creator. Remember the Redeemer. And if I'm remembering the Redeemer, I'm doing what to myself? Purging out the old leaven. Ephesians 2:8, for by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourself. It's a recap of what we had talked about earlier. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of Elohim. It's not by works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, keeping Torah, which Elohim prepared beforehand that we should do what? Walk in them. What are we doing? Walking out the Torah. Should we do that? That's what he said. We should walk in them. How many of you can see this is not my theory? This is what the Word says. The Sabbath worship our Creator, worship our Redeemer. In Psalms 94, for 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed, or like a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved ones, let not this one matter be hidden from you, that with Yah, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Sabbath worship is in our future. So we're practicing like we do the feast days. We're practicing, right? In Isaiah 66:22, for as the new heavens and the new earth that I make stand before me, declares Yah, so your seed and your name shall stand. And it shall be that from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares Yah. That's why we should be doing it now. We'll be in real good practice. How many think we ought to be in good practice? Well, there you go. I think that was the end of it. I just gave you kind of an easy version that I can get done in 2 services. I actually went over the whole thing today. I wasn't as good last week to do that. But let me tell you, I have a document. It's 33 pages, and it covers everything, all the questions you might have, even the ones you might make up, on why you should keep Sabbath. I could send it electronically, would be easy. Printing it takes a lot of printing. But if you need it printed, be the one who really needs it printed. But we're going to give it out to whoever would like to read, if you want something to read. It's 33 pages. It's concise. It really covers all the verses, all throughout the Scripture. It talks about where it started, how did it start, when did first day worship start, Sunday worship, when did it start? Yah didn't start it. Yeshua didn't start it. So if neither one of them started it, why did we keep doing it? It answers all those questions. Every one you're going to have.